This Sunday is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. The psalm of the day is from Psalm 18, verses 1 to 16. The scripture readings for this Sunday are the Old Testament reading taken from the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 4 to 18. The epistle is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 5 to 17. And the Holy Gospel is from St. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Pastor Magruder is basing today's sermon on the epistle reading for this Sunday from Paul's letter to the Romans. He will read that for you now, and he will read the Gospel for you now from the book of St. Matthew, with the sermon for this Sunday titled, The Word is Near.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from Romans chapter 10, beginning with the fifth verse. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. In Romans chapter 9, we read Paul writing of his passionate desire that his fellow Israelites would turn from their religion based on commandment keeping to the true righteousness of God that comes through faith in Christ. And that is the reason the Israelites missed the boat in the first place. They misinterpret the word of God. They have a zeal for doing the commandments of God, but miss the fact that salvation comes through trust, that is, faith in Christ alone. Now, there is nothing worse than ignorant zeal. Those are the people who already know everything and can't be taught a thing. If you think you already have all the answers and have plumbed the depths of God, what more do you have to learn? But what if you're wrong? What if you put the puzzle together in a totally wrong way? What if, seeking to please God, you wind up on his wrath side instead of his mercy side? That's precisely what happened. Being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, Paul wrote, they did not submit to God's righteousness. This is the point which Israel, in all its commandment-keeping zeal, missed. The point is Christ, not commandments. That's a tough sell today, or any day for that matter. Our natural inclination is to invent religions, ways of reaching up into heaven or plumbing the depths, as though God can't get to us, so we have to somehow get to God. Whether reaching inward or reaching upward, all religion operates this way. And the religion Paul pursued as a Pharisee was no exception. It tried to make the law of God achievable. A book of biblical principles, 613 do's and don'ts to do the righteousness of God. Moses even promised that the person who does the commandments will live by them. But the question is, do you? Do you do the commandments? Do you fear, love, and trust in God above all things? All things, not just some things. Do you pray, praise, give thanks under all circumstances? Are you glad when they say to you, let us go to the house of the Lord? We need to be honest here. What about our parents and other authorities? Do you obey them, love, honor, and cherish them? Do you harbor hatred in your hearts, which is murder? Are you sexually pure in deed and thought? Do you steal, gossip? How's the coveting going? Are you content with your lot in life? I'm trying hard, I say. But trying hard doesn't cut it with the commandment keeping. It's do or die, baby. Do it and you live. Don't do it and you're dead. Don't talk about it, read about it, go to seminars and workshops and conferences. Do it. It's as simple as that. All religion works like that. In Buddhism, if you don't do it right the first time, you get recycled to have another go at it. But faith looks at things a completely different way. Faith doesn't say, let's reach up to heaven. Faith doesn't say, let's plumb the depths looking for God. No, faith clings to the Word of God, the Word of Christ that is on your lips and in your ears and on your heart, the Word you hear preached to you by prophets, apostles, evangelists, and pastors. The word that declares Jesus crucified, risen, and reigning, who is your Lord, who saved you, won you with his death, redeemed you with his blood. It boils down to this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he is God in the flesh, come to save you, and if you trust in your heart that it is true on account of the one piece of evidence God has given to the world, namely, he raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved. It's as simple as that. Not a single work of any commandment is involved. Simple trust in the heart and a confession on the lips. And here's the miracle. Both of those things are gifted to you by God. Now you say, it can't be that easy. But it is in Jesus. It's Jesus, only Jesus, nothing else, no one else. And it doesn't matter what your background is, Paul writes, whether you're a circumcised son of Israel or a former pagan, there is absolutely no difference now that Christ has come. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can anyone call on him if they don't believe? No, they can't. How can anyone believe in Jesus if they never heard of Jesus? Again, the answer, they can't. Faith needs an object. You don't believe in your believing. Some do, but that's not saving faith in Jesus. That's faith in my believing. Faith has an object, and saving, justifying faith has Jesus as its object. So, how is anyone going to hear this unless there's a voice, a preacher? Again, you can't. God doesn't ordinarily speak directly. It's rare. That's why we don't put trust in those voices in our heads. The word demands to be heard, and hearing requires a preacher. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Again, they can't. Preaching is heralding good news for another. You have to be sent. God sent Moses and the prophets. We have the written record of their preaching. God sent the apostles and evangelists. We have written records of their preaching. God sends pastors, reminding us that God's voice continues to be heard. He's not only the God who has spoken, but he is the God who speaks. God sends you to your neighbor, to those around you. The apostolic church is a sent church. Apostolic means sent. We are sent into the world to put the word of Jesus into the ears of the unbelieving world. Beautiful feet, Paul calls those feet that bring gospel good news. Well-shod feet were part of the whole armor of God that Paul enumerated in Ephesians, feet that were equipped with the gospel of peace. It reminds us that the gospel is always on the move. It's never a static thing. In the book of Acts, it never rests. It never stands still. It's always in the motion of mission, never silent, because faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. The Holy Spirit works faith in the heart, where and when he pleases, in those who hear the good news. Our job is to get the good news to their ears, just as the good news has come to our ears. The sad thing is that some don't want to listen, like Paul's fellow children of Abraham. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, he wrote. Didn't they hear? Weren't preachers sent? Paul says God's been preaching up a storm to Israel, and yet they did not believe, not because they didn't hear, not because the word is weak and ineffective, but because they refused it in stubborn, hard-hearted unbelief. And that is a powerful reminder to all of us. Every hearing of the word is a day of the Lord, right here and now, or at home, or listening to it on the drive to work. It's a saving moment. Don't be as Israel, stubborn and contrary, lest God make an example out of you too. Hear the word of Christ, forgiving your sins, raising you from your death, and giving you eternal life. Hear it and take it to heart. Forgiveness is for you. Death's destruction is for you. Eternal life is for you. It's the surest word there is in your life. It's the word of God that has been preached from the beginning and has been laid on our ears. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing is faith's inhaling, and telling is faith's exhaling. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's word, it's right here, in your ears to hear, your mouth to confess, your heart to believe. Hear it, confess it, believe it. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We join together to confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now hear the collect for this 11th Sunday after Pentecost.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, preserve us from all harm and danger, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish what you want done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Go in peace and serve the Lord.